Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
Check in once again today with Aaron Schatz, the man behind, one man behind Football Outsiders, the creator of what I would say seems to be a stat that I just hear casually dropped more and more often, like more and more mainstream DVOA. Not everybody knows what it is or even what it stands for, but you hear it more, I think.
Yeah, I think we heard it a lot here this year because the Bills had the number one ranked defense, and then someone would say, yeah, but they played Washington and Houston, and then someone else would say, yeah, but they were number one in DVOA, too.
Right, and they were. Yeah. Second in the league behind Dallas, I believe, last year's DVOA. Aaron Schatz with us on the Western Hotline. Is that right, Aaron? Dallas ended the year one in that stat?
Yes, Dallas was number one, and I believe you are correct that Buffalo was two.
Okay.
And I guess, I mean, it's a it's a metric based on play-to-play action in the NFL. So what do you guys do, for those who don't know, in the offseason when DVOA isn't going to be changing, I would assume, despite the fact that rosters are?
Oh, God, so much stuff in the offseason. First of all, we write a gigantic book, right? So we write Football Outsiders Almanac every year, and we've
I've already heard about this book.
And doing that means also, you know, creating projections. And I worked on some methods to improve our projections this year. And, you know, doing fantasy projections. And we did more off-season content on Football Outsiders this year. If people haven't been reading Football Outsiders, there was more draft content. There's more off-season stuff. And then old stuff. I broke down 1981 and 1982, and we're going to be adding those to the database.
I saw your tweet about Charlie Brown. Recently, yes. 1983, Sneaky Joe, our producer, sometimes brings up how he's baffled by the fact that in 1983, the MVP of the NFL was a kicker, Mark Mosley. Was it 82, the strike year?
Yeah, it was 82,
okay.
And it was a horrible decision. By our metrics, Mosley wasn't even the best kicker in the league that year. Dan Fouts should have been the MVP.
Lowry maybe was the best kicker. Did I see that?
Lowry was the best kicker by our numbers.
In the NFL, 83, so this is why I think I got confused there. 83.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
I just can't. I imagine, like, in today's era where, like, the MVP has practically become a quarterback award, a kicker beating out Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady is mind boggling to me.
Yes. I think I have this right, but in 83, Washington and San Francisco met in the NFC Championship game, and Mosley was maybe 0-for-4 on field goals until the game winner. Like, he hit the game winner real short for Washington to send them to that Super Bowl. Anyway, enough.
Yeah, '82 was Dallas and Washington in the NFC Championship game. But same thing. Mosley missed 4 field goals in the playoffs in '82 after winning the MVP award.
As I don't need to tell you, it is a regular season award, and there is some proof of it. Okay,
yeah,
Aaron.
Hi, Aaron Rodgers says hello. Yeah.
Yes, okay. Well, here with the Bills, Von Miller would be the big one. Every team had their draft, and there'd be that to factor in to try to, you know, reorganize teams or re-rank them. How do you see what the Bills have done here in the offseason, considering, you know, Miller and the draft and so on?
Oh, I mean, great. The Bills are a very smart team, and we've felt that way for years. This whole, you know, current administration, even back when everybody in the analytics community thought that Josh Allen was not going to develop, I think, you know, we were all still thought that the front office and the coaching staff was doing a great job and that the rest of the team was built in a really great way. They just needed the quarterback, and then Josh Allen, you know, as I've said, he's a black swan. There's never really been anyone who's developed as much as he did, and so now all of a sudden you have this complete team. And I thought what they did this offseason was great. Von Miller is a great addition. Drafting the cornerback in the first round was exactly what they needed. You know, I'm not that crazy about running backs, and I felt like everybody was constantly mocking a running back to the Bills in the first round, and I'm like, the Bills aren't going to do that. But they took one in the second round, and you know what? Like, you know, I'm not a big fan of taking running backs early, but that's fine.
That's how I felt too. Yes.
How good a player was Miller last year? Like by your measures, Aaron.
I thought he was really good. Honestly, I'd have to load up the individual defense tables from the book, but to get like exactly how many hurries he had, but he. He comes out as, I mean, he obviously was bringing something to the Rams. There's no question about it. He ended up with 30 hurries, 9.5 sacks, 30 hurries. So that's pretty good.
Aaron, just an interesting.
He is really not done.
I'm sorry for jumping in there. Interesting moment in time here with the Bills as the Super Bowl favorite, you know, not likely to win, but no team is more likely to win by the odds. I'm assuming that sort of that works for you, that they are the top choice, or at least in the group of teams at or near the top of those, you know, the odds.
Yes, the Bills are the number one team in the league in our projections, same as most everybody else. I will say ESPN said that they have it the same way as this, too. We have usually our projections are really tight around 500. Like, the projections are a lot closer to 500 than the actual results at the end of a season. And they're even closer to 500 this year. So the Bills do not come out as impressive as like the number one Super Bowl contender would be in most years, but they are the number one Super Bowl contender, and there's really no question.
That is what Seth Walder kind of also said yesterday in his article. You're mentioning ESPN, that last year the Super Bowl favorite by his numbers was 19% to win, and this year it's 7%. And I was trying to understand and then explain that. And what he wrote, it sounded like was, you know, just they are honing their process there with that, that it wasn't anything to do with the, you know, parody or anything like that in the league. Is that how you see it, or is that your understanding?
I think it's a combination of the two. We haven't done our simulation yet. Our simulation had more parity in it than ESPN's used to, so my guess is that now our simulations will come out pretty close. Mm-hmm. But I also think there is more parity this year than usual. The best teams are closer to the middle, and the worst teams are closer to the middle than usual in the preseason this year. Like, we don't have Buffalo as far ahead as we've had some teams in the past, but, I mean, they're the clear number one team.
Aaron Schatz with us from Football Outsiders. Well, the division you're in means so much to the odds, and the Bills in the AFC East looks different than, say, the AFC West looks, especially when you think about like the Russell Wilson trade or even Devontae Adams. Let's talk about the AFC East here, Aaron. So mentioning DVOA, New England was fourth at the end of the season in that metric, by that metric. You probably know, of course you know this, I mean, a lot of what the Patriots have done has really been panned. I mean, the draft and J.C. Jackson, the trade of Shaq Mason. Like, from your seat, is that unfair?
No, not at all. I've panned it myself. Mm-hmm. Anybody who follows my Twitter feed has seen an unhappy Patriots fan. I'm not a big fan of what they've done this offseason, and we have them coming back to the pack. I know we had them higher than anybody else last year. Our ratings just absolutely loved their big wins not just over bad teams like Jacksonville, but big wins over teams like Cleveland and Tennessee. But when you look at the personnel changes they've made this offseason, and you look at the fact that I think they led the league in takeaways per drive on defense, and that tends to regress heavily to the mean from year to year. And we, you know, Mac Jones was pretty good last year, but usually quarterbacks who are that good, they don't take a second year leap, like, because they were already good. So we don't see him taking a big leap forward. And so we have the Patriots coming back to the pack. We have them as pretty much an average team in our projections. And we also have Miami as a pretty much average team in our projections, just a little bit below the Patriots.
On the Patriots, Aaron, I know it's not exactly your stock and trade here, but, like, do you have an opinion on what Belichick is doing? The draft, I mean, it was you that I saw on Friday of the draft, I think, that said the receiver from Baylor was, like, you had him as an undrafted free agent candidate, and they took him in the second round, I think. What do you think is going on there?
Yeah, I mean, I will say our projection, our playmaker score projection system, you know, liked him, but the source that we used for where guys were going to be drafted had him listed as an undrafted free agent. So I'm like, for him to go from undrafted free agent to the second round is nuts. Listen, analytics has taught us that the draft is much more of a crapshoot than we want to believe that it is. It's much more of a random lottery. And therefore, there's sort of two rules about the draft. The first is, you know, move down and get more picks. So you have more shots at the apple. And the Patriots do that, and that's good. The other is that the best way to get value is to be cognizant of conventional wisdom. And mock drafts out in the public tend to be very close to what the teams are actually thinking and how players are actually drafted. And you don't want to reach for players. The fact is, players who are reaches, right, who go much earlier than their expected draft position, tend to be failures. Not, you know, compared to their draft position. Not always. Like, there's an example like Travis Frederick, right, went to Dallas a lot earlier than expected, turned out to be a great player. But the Patriots have their own draft board, and they do not care what anybody else thinks. And that is not a positive. That is a negative. Because let's, like, take Cole Strange, the first-round pick, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, the Patriots really could have traded down into the second round. Let's say they traded down into the mid-second round and picked up another pick. Right? The chances that they'd get Cole Strange in the mid-second round were, like, 96% or something. Like, there is very likely, based on how conventional wisdom saw this draft, that they could have waited to the third round to take him. And so for him to go that early, it's just, you're just botching your draft value. You could have gotten more value by taking someone like Karloftis or something, the edge rusher out of Purdue, and then using a later pick on Strange.
Yeah, I feel like this is safe. Does Belichick not see that sort of insular approach as a badge of honor? Right? Like, for years I've been hearing him, like many other coaches, you know, or GMs say, like, well, we're not listening to the noise, right? But here's an example, and an important one, I would say, of how the noise, if you will, is important to listen to.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And listen, the fact that Belichick is a great general manager and a great head coach does not mean that he is immune from criticism. And this is one area where I definitely would criticize him, the other area being that there's no offensive coordinator, and the idea that Matt Patricia or Joe Judge might be calling plays makes me want to stab myself in my eyeball. So, you know, Patriots are a little bit of a mess right now.
You still have them, you said, a tick ahead of the Dolphins.
Yeah, kick ahead of the Dolphins primarily because of our special teams projections. Even though the Patriots' special teams were average last year, the Patriots and Baltimore tend to have special teams better than everyone else in a consistent way that no other team can match. And that ends up coming out as the difference between Miami and New England in our projections.
So how impactful is Tyreek Hill to Miami? I mean, it doesn't push them ahead of New England, according to how you've got this currently. But, you know, him and Waddle will see, I guess, about Tua this year.
Yeah, I think Hill is impactful. There's no question. I mean, despite the fact that we don't have them super high in our projections, that doesn't mean that Hill didn't have an effect on the projection. I will say that in general, teams that lose a great receiver fall more than teams that add a great receiver. Now, Bills fans will go, Stephon Diggs. Well, Stephon Diggs is an exception to that rule. But in general, that's the way that it goes. So in general, like Kansas City probably lost more by trading Hill away than Miami gained by adding Hill.
It's fun how we can find...
how that sounds.
Yes, right? It's fun how we can find out sometimes who is and who is not a great receiver when they're in these different situations. There's been a lot of this movement. And with Kansas City, I mean, to varying degrees, Smith-Schuster and Valdez-Scantling and now Sky Moore from the draft, you know, the other two guys have been in the league different times. You sort of maybe didn't think about them, and now they're in the they're on a Mahomes, Andy Reid offense. And then Moore is an interesting prospect from the second round. So we'll see if one of those guys can make Kansas City look like Kansas City without Tyreek Hill there.
Yeah, I will admit, our projections have Kansas City lower than Vegas, lower than almost anybody else out there, I think. And not because offensively they have the number two projection. Defensively, they end up with the number 31 projection. We see their defense really coming back to earth.
Who is the favorite in that division for you, then?
The Los Angeles Chargers.
So the Chargers are kind of a trap over the years, right? Every year, people... like them generally, and
I'm
you know,
falling into the trap.
Yep. Yes, we've all been there, even more than once. Last year, I mean, Justin Herbert and a coach who went on fourth down all the time, yet they still could not get there. One play away, probably at the end of that Raiders game in overtime. But this year, they're better.
I mean, you take the team that they had last year, and you add to their defense, which was generally the problem with the team, Khalil Mack and J.C. Jackson, and I'm trying to remember the name of the nose tackle who comes over from the Rams, Sebastian Joseph Day, and Asante Samuel now has another year of experience. I just think their defense is going to be a lot better with all the talent that they've added. Their offense should still be really, really good. Their special teams should be lousy because that's how the Chargers roll. But yeah, I like the Chargers as the best team in that division this year. We have it going Chargers, KC, Denver, Vegas. All four teams from the AFC West have a mean projection. Their average projection is over 8.5. And all four teams from the AFC South have an average projection below 8.5.
Wow. Yeah, we could see that. The AFC South winner being maybe 8-9 and the fourth place team in the AFC West better but out of the playoffs. We'll see what happens. How about the AFC North? Interesting betting odds in the AFC North, Aaron. We've talked about here quite often with the uncertainty around Deshaun Watson. He's there though, so Cleveland has been the favorite. Right now it's kind of close between three teams, one of which was just in the Super Bowl. And as good as Baltimore's been, is it that way for you where those teams are close? The Browns kind of stand out to me as like, I don't know, they seem maybe like they haven't earned that.
I think the Browns have, if you know how good Watson is, if Watson plays 16 games. I don't know whether he will or not. And I would like for them to please decide before we write our book.
Yeah.
Baltimore, I will say, so Baltimore has a lot of reasons to believe in them. One is they were so ridiculously injured last year, and they're getting a lot of guys back healthy, not just the running backs, but offensive linemen and cornerbacks, and they're absolutely going to be better and healthier. And then it's just, you know, probabilities. We, you know, our projections are based on a range of possibilities, and like I said about New England's special teams, the Baltimore special teams are always good. And that gives them a leg up in our projections because they're consistently good in that one area. And you know, because there's so much variance in offense and defense, the fact that Baltimore is consistently good in something they can count on kind of raises them up in our projections.
You know, I hate to jump around division to division here, but we left the AFC East without talking about the Jets at all.
Oh, right.
And they were so interesting in the draft with the three first-round picks. They're getting a lot of credit for that, and I'm not here to, you know, put a stick in the spokes of that bicycle rolling down the hill. You know, get all the credit you want. Where do you, I think there's a reason we didn't talk about them. Are you not buying it yet? It's Zach Wilson time, I guess.
Our system is irrationally in love with the Jets defense. One of the worst defenses in the league last year. Our system has them projected in the top 10 for this year because of personnel changes and regression in turnovers and regression in some other stuff. Their offense, though, we have is lousy because we just don't believe in Zach Wilson until we see it happen. And it could. I mean, you know, listen, I don't ever give up on a quarterback after 1 year. There's just been way too many quarterbacks in NFL history who were terrible in their first year and then put it together in their second year, at least to be average, if not good, and on their way to good. And Zach Wilson could be that guy, but I don't expect him. The likelihood is that he's not, in which case their offense will be lousy and the team will be lousy. And everybody in the AFC East has a hard schedule, but the Jets have the hardest schedule because the other three teams are better than them.
By the way, I just want to say I like this about Football Outsiders, this irrational love your system has for the Jets defense. I feel like it's sort of, you know, maybe we all have people in our families where you just don't understand why they are in love with that person. Like, I don't get it. I don't see it. But it's there, and you have to, you live with it. You try to understand it. Here we go with the computer and the Jets defense. So I feel like it's
humanizes
it's relatable.
Your computer.
Yeah. It's relatable.
You've heard about drinking the Kool-Aid. Our computer is drinking the sauce.
it's drinking
the sauce Gardner.
Sauce Gardner.
Carl Lawson back from injury. They have Jordan Whitehead added. They get LaMarcus Joyner back from injury. They added DJ Reed. They added Sauce Gardner really high in the draft. There's just a lot of extra talent on that defense.
Real quick before you go, Aaron, a thought on the NFC East. People are psyched about the Eagles today. Bradbury now, and there's been a lot on the Eagles of late, it seems. A lot of hype.
Yeah, our system loves the Eagles this year, absolutely loves the Eagles. Added a ton of talent on both sides of the ball. Easiest projected schedule in the league by our numbers, although I'll point out that the second easiest projected schedule in the league is the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, will be interesting. AJ Brown.
The Giants are our worst projected team in the league.
In the NFL, really, the whole league.
Yeah, in the whole league. I'm a great believer in their front office. I mean, you know, here I was giving accolades to the Bills front office, and so their offensive coordinator and their assistant GM go to run the Giants. We love what the Giants are doing to clean up the mess and succeed in the future, but it's not going to help them this year.
Hey, Aaron, you mentioned in the course of talking about the Browns, you'd like a decision on whether Watson's going to get to play a full season or not before the book comes out. When should we be on the lookout for the book, and can we pre-order?
Unfortunately, the way that Amazon self-publishing works, you can't pre-order the book.
Okay.
But we are, I believe, shooting for something like July 12th. To get it out. I've just started editing the first couple chapters. So we're shooting for July 12th. That's when Football Outsiders Almanac 2022 will be available.
Aaron, we're happy to have you on anytime to help promote it. Thanks for this today and all the many visits over the years.
Absolutely, man. And it's a great time to be a Bills fan. So I'm happy to come up and talk about how great your team is. And we'll talk again in the preseason.
Okay, good. Thanks again, Aaron.
All right.
Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders at FO_A Schatz, S-C-H-A-T-Z. When we were talking about it at the beginning, I called up the voting for that MVP award when Mosley won, the kicker won. It's close. They got two more votes over Dan Fouts. If only the people who voted for Joe Theismann had voted for Dan Fouts. The Washington players splitting the vote, not enough to interrupt Mosley's win of the MVP as a kicker in 1982.
Did Fouts ever win an MVP?
I'm not positive, but I don't think so.
Yeah, man. It's got, well, I don't know. I wonder if he's the kind of guy that's walking around like, I should have been an MVP. A kicker beat me for MVP. That's tough.
He never won an MVP.
He was second twice. And, you know, offensive player of the year, different things like that. 79-82. He was close a number of times and won from different, you know, the MVP, this is the AP MVP award is the one that's like, I don't know, mm-hmm. at least then, if not still, was considered like the one. But you and I could have established one. We could do that. And then you and I decide who deserves it. And they won an MVP.
The S&B.
The Chauvin the Bulldog MVP award.
This is before the MVP became like a strict quarterback award, right? Earl Campbell won it in 79 when Fouts finished second.
Yeah.
Now, good. Like, it's all quarterbacks.
Pretty
like,
much.
Like,
Peterson won.
TJ Watt's MVP odds are the same as Ryan Fitzpatrick's, who's not even on a
who's
team.
Who's not on a team yet.
And TJ Watt's, like, the best pass rusher in football.
There you go. Sneaky Joe right there. 803-0550 to join us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
I was in Miami, actually, when it happened. It was the day before the charity softball event, Michael's charity event. I heard about it, and I'm like, someone told me about it. And then I looked on the internet, and I'm like, wow, this happened in Buffalo. I was, like, my gut was, like, hurting. I'm like, this happened in Buffalo? I feel like I'm safe here. Like you said, I've been here for a couple years. I feel like I'm always safe here when I come back here. And for that to happen, I just felt like, I didn't feel unsafe. I just felt like that's never supposed to happen here, you know, but it can happen anywhere.
Right. Isaiah McKenzie. Just a beautiful effort by the Bills, the Sabres, the Bandits out in full force today with food and, you know, just talking to people. Sure, people listening to us right now may have been a part of that scene today. Really, really impressive and special and good. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Sneaky Joe. We'll have Sal on today. Sal's taking a few days off. Starting tomorrow, so I read that and went, can we at least talk once more? So that'll be at 5 Eastern, and then Brian Koziol at 6. My turn in the majors bet we always do. The PGA is this weekend, starting tomorrow. And so I've got 10 players. You know, there's one, I've got one opening. If anybody happens to care a lot about this, and maybe they have sort of a strong feeling about one player. Maybe it's not one of the nine I've already sort of locked in. Let me know. Twitter, at Shope Talk would be the way to do that.
What can these candidates do to impress you?
Just, you know, a simple, good argument. Like, I'm going here because of this, this, and this.
All right.
You know, maybe I'll be convinced. Hey, let's talk about the Rams for a minute. So, week one, right? Super Bowl champions, all of that. I'm looking back at their season, and I don't feel like I really have sort of one solid position on what their season was. So they won the Super Bowl. That's the goal.
That's pretty great.
That's the best you can do.
Right. Right.
Were they a great team? We just talked to Aaron Schatz. We didn't hear the Rams, you know, on his – they were not – it was DVOA. It was Dallas, Buffalo, Tampa, New England. Maybe the Rams were fifth, but they were not higher. They started 7-1 with their loss being in week four to Arizona. You'll remember this game because Arizona went how many weeks before losing it all? And head-to-head, they really hammered the Rams in that game week four. So still, that's their only loss. LA's only loss through week eight. Then they lost 3 in a row. Home on a Sunday night to Tennessee. It's not a game. I was in Hawaii that week. It's not a game I watched, but I was sort of like baffled by it. We're also down on Tennessee anyway, but a couple of turnovers and they lose that game. Then they get crushed in San Francisco on a Monday night after a bye week, lose at Lambeau, 7-4. And I think I thought they were sort of average at that point. The rest of the season, 10 games through the Super Bowl, 9 wins, and the only loss was another game you might remember, the last game of the regular season against the Niners. This is the game where San Francisco fans like took over their stadium.
Right.
And San Francisco needed to win to make the playoffs. I really wanted them to because I was excited to see San Francisco in the playoffs over, I don't know who it would have been, but I was hoping for that. And they drove, the Rams went ahead late fourth quarter. The Niners drove the field and tied it. Seconds to play, forced overtime, and won it in overtime. They kicked a field goal, and then an interception ended the game. And then the playoffs, the Rams, they didn't cruise. They didn't lose.
Right.
So, were they great? Were they lucky? Like, what were the Rams to you?
I think really good. I don't know about great. They were really good. I mean, it's funny. Like, it's hard to separate the way Joe and I talked about Matthew Stafford, like, I mean, I've always crushed on this player. I really like this player. So we would talk about the Rams, and then we'd say something about Stafford. You go, oh, there you are, and Joe, your boyfriend.
Yeah.
That I think, I have that as a, you know, as a memory of talking about the Rams. So I probably maybe because of that overstated what I thought of them sometimes, just, you know, for fun. But I thought they were really good. You know, I mean, they've got obviously plenty of dynamite players, including Stafford, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. I mean, eventually Beckham and Cooper Kupp. So, the thing about them that I like the least is the reputation the coach has, because he makes me crazy when I watch them play in games, because I just don't feel like he doesn't seem to deliver on what his reputation is when I watch them play games. He just makes some curious decisions, I think, like, you know, running on first downs and just weird stuff. But I think they're really good, you know, and I think they'll really miss Von Miller. But I think that's still a team that, like, you know, to me, I'm excited that the Bills have this game, but it's an intimidating matchup, you know, in part because it's the first game, you know, it's the Super Bowl celebration and all that. I think they're a contender still. I think they're pretty much what they were last year.
I agree on McVay to a point. Doesn't deliver on what his reputation is, except for the fact that Cooper Kupp is always open by 5 yards. There must be some witchcraft in their scheme that has receivers. Like, it's Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco for the running game, and it's McVay for the passing game. Now they have Allen Robinson, who's an interesting player this point of his career, how Robinson really, I think, dogged it in Chicago, didn't want to be there, franchise tag, and he had a terrible season on a bad team. All the stuff with the coach being there, and like such a kind of a rotten year for the Bears. So the question is Robinson still capable? Like, is he still really good? His thing is how he's never had the good quarterback to play with. Well, now he does. But is he good enough to take advantage? I mean, the Rams must think yes. They paid him pretty good. And so he goes in there. Maybe Beckham still ends up there, but probably not week one. Like, when the Bills are out there, Beckham is, I don't think, expected to be healthy.
No, right. No, what I'm hearing is, like, he's maybe midseason at the earliest.
Yeah, and he's not signed. I'm not saying he's signed.
Right,
but
that's right.
Maybe you'd expect him to go back there, try to win another one.
They were fifth, by the way, in DVOA last year.
They were fifth. Okay.
They were fifth. Stafford was sixth. And to me, like, they went from a very good team to, like, they were ninth in DVOA the year before, and Goff was 21st. And they got the quarterback that ended up sixth, was second in touchdowns, third in air yards, third in yardage. Like, that quarterback upgrade, to me, vaulted them to, they're a great team in a conference where there aren't a lot of those guys, and the two that are currently there are 39 and 45. So that doesn't matter to what they are right now, but I think long-term even, like, I think of them as that's the team with the staying power, even because they have the core pieces around them that are good right now. They have a quarterback that should have a few more years of what he just did, and they were just kind of solid. I thought they've been solid for long enough now that they were always a quarterback away to me, and they got the quarterback and won the Super Bowl. Like, I don't think that's really the Bengals were 17th in DVOA. Like, that to me was a fluke. The Rams, I think, were just maybe not the best team, but they were up there.
They clubbed Arizona in that wild card game. Remember, that's the Monday night game, and Kyler Murray being twisted around in the end zone, throwing up prayers. Murray felt scapegoated in that game. I believe I heard like that he was left in there to struggle. If that's right, anyway.
Well,
not
yeah,
about
no,
the, Rams.
The reporting the Mortensen stuff like.
Okay,
really
right.
Quickly after the season was he? That's the game he refused to go back in or didn't want to go back in.
The playoffs.
Yeah, in the playoffs.
They go to Tampa, and they blow a pretty big lead in that game, but win it anyway. Tampa comes all the way back. Then there's the big pass to Kupp late in the fourth quarter. They kick the field goal to win it. Then it's San Francisco, which was a super close. Those last three games were all field goal games. Bucks, yep. Niners, and then Bengals.
And the thing about, like, the Goff trade is, like, the big thing for me because they had no semblance of a run game in the playoffs. Like, Cam Akers averaged less than 2 yards per carry. There's that Bucks game even. Like, that pass at the end. I mean, maybe Jared Goff makes that pass. Kupp is open, but I'm not confident in that. Like, to me, I don't think they win the Super Bowl if they do not make that Stafford trade. He made the pass to the against the Bucks. He was basically their whole offense for all four of their playoff games. So, I think he's proven it. Like, I don't think they can not be labeled a great team when, in my eyes, they have a great quarterback in a conference where I can count on one hand how many great quarterbacks there are.
Well, I did draft him last night. So that should work out, you're saying.
Yeah.
They must they're atop they're the division favorite, right? Ahead of Arizona.
They've got to be ahead of San Francisco. I would guess they're second, okay. But I don't know. I want to look now. The Rams have to be favored there.
Yeah. Like, forget about Seattle.
Seattle.
And the 49ers, I mean, who knows if Lance goes in, like, that could really hit, or that could be, like, training wheels. And, I don't know, Garoppolo is still there. It's another week, and Garoppolo is still on the 49ers.
Well, they're, like, one of the few teams maybe in the NFC where you feel like you don't know what they've got under center. Like, you know what Brady is, I think. You know what Stafford is, mm-hmm. Rodgers, Prescott and Kyler and Cousins, like good or bad, like Mariota. Like, I think you know what a lot of these quarterbacks are. How many guys in the NFC, how many teams in the NFC do you not really know what they're going to get under center this year?
Like, maybe it's more than half.
Like Lance in San Francisco, Hurts in Philly, and am I done? For like quarterbacks that I don't know what level of quality I'm going to get.
Could be really good. Could be,
Maybe Daniel Jones gets thrown into that too. That's three.
Fields.
I think I'm done.
Fields.
Is that going to work with that infrastructure?
You're kind of assuming it won't.
I'm assuming it won't because of what they've surrounded him with. But, right, he maybe deserves to be a fourth name here.
Rams at plus 140 at MGM, the West favorite. Niners plus 190. Cardinals plus 300. I think that's interesting. I mean, I'm expecting Murray to play. Hopkins is suspended, but it's an interesting idea. Seattle plus 1,000, No.
They're plus 450 to win the conference, too.
Rams?
Yeah.
That's
which is second
to Tampa.
I mean,
it's pretty short, but it's second choice. Green Bay, Rams. Green Bay and the Rams tied. I think I want to get a little crazy there. I don't like him as much as you sound like you do. I didn't either last year, I think. And I might want to get a little crazy there. But you know how that goes. It'll be if I'm right, it'll be really fun, and I'll brag about it all the time to the extent of being super annoying, and then I'll lose anyway. Because they won't actually win the conference, Philadelphia or the Lions. I think I want to bet the Lions. Just like, ooh, what a story this would make.
Aren't you on Washington this year?
I'm on Washington until Ostrowski sort of spooked me about it. Like, why did you do that? I'm like, I don't know. And so I looked to cash it out last night, but it's already, like, moved a little bit the wrong way, so I'll just whatever. It's not that much. Sal coming up at 5. We'll talk some Rams with Sal today. Brian Koziol later talking golf. PGA Championship starts tomorrow. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here with Sneaky Joe. If you don't know, you can hear Joe 10 to noon with Sal, and then also 7 to 8 after us most nights. This is WGR.
Not really. I mean, I've trained in Toronto for a couple years, so I got to know Connor a little bit there. And obviously a few of guys on their team I was teammates with at one point. But, yeah, not too worried about the personal relationships when it comes down to playoff hockey.
Matthew Tkachuk. Let's play.
That guy had over 100 points this year. Massive year.
Is that a lot anymore?
That's still a lot, yes. I think that is a lot.
Rangers, Hurricanes, then Oilers, Flames. Thoughts on last night, by the way. Tampa,
that game was not super fun to watch. I would say Tampa, Florida. It just seemed kind of muddy. I was expecting that to be a more up and down game. It just, but yeah, I got the result I wanted, needed. but because I'm on Tampa going all the way to the finals. And I didn't see a ton of Colorado-St. Louis. I watched maybe the first period or so of that after Tampa and Florida wrapped up. And I think that's going to go probably a lot like it went last night, but I think it still could be a long, tight series. Like last night was an overtime game. Colorado, the shots were like 54-22 or something. I mean, they just clobbered them. But
shots in overtime were 13-0.
Man. But I think the Blues will hang around. Like, I think they'll win games in that series. I'm not expecting Colorado to just mow through there. I bet the Blues on the series just because the number was good. So I'm like you, I'm going to lose. But if I'm right, you know, I'll never stop yelling about it. So I think, you know, you got pretty much what I'd say you got what you expected. The Blues stayed in the game. It was a close game, overtime game. Colorado won. You know, Florida maybe was a bit of a letdown, but I'm on Tampa there, even though the point injury is cause for concern. Like, they'll miss him eventually, I think. Last night they got by, but dressing 11 forwards in a playoff series against a team like Florida, I think, is not a recipe for success.
There's Florida's chance to dress Thornton, just to make it fair.
Right.
There you go, from yesterday's show. Braden Point. So tonight, Rangers, Hurricanes. Joe and I are both heavy on Carolina. Just double down, baby, against the Rangers. Double down. And Calgary over 6. We like.
Yep. It's
more you and I. I got that
I
from
like
you.
I like that too. Yeah. And I'm on Calgary for that series. I'm also on Carolina. I was on the Rangers against Pittsburgh, but I can't. I just don't think they're going to be able to do it twice. I think Carolina is just deeper and stronger and better everywhere than Pittsburgh.
They got to win at 5-on-5, you know, and they probably will, but they've got to be able to show for it for their advantage at 5-on-5, I would say. Sal Capaccio next. Back to football. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.